Welcome back into another Falcon Cast here at Atlanta Falcons headquarters in Flower Ranch. A lot of fun. I'm John Michaels, alongside Jay Adams, and the quarterback, DJ Shockley, Brian Bosek, producing, adding his ins and outs as well, as we'll do a break with Bosek a little bit later on. Obviously, a lot to get to this week, guys. First and foremost, how are you guys doing?
Oh, man, I am still hungover from the draft. You get that draft hangover, man. I counted it up. Over the 3 days of the draft, I worked 38 hours.
And that would just be Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And so you end up in this kind of haze by Saturday, which is great because that's the day that you make the most picks, so there's not a whole lot going on. And so you get to Sunday and you just kind of – I forgot I existed for a little while.
I usually turn to tequila on those days.
Yeah. I thought about it, but I'm still dealing with the effects. I'm trying to get back into the groove.
Let me piggyback on that. I actually had the chance to sit in what's the media war room, it should be.
Yeah.
And I got to see what these guys do, what they do. And I was amazed at what goes on. And I don't think the Falcons fans understand how good they have it with Jay's crew, what they do on the website, on Twitter, Facebook, everything, and how everything is, when you say up to the minute, mm-hmm. these guys, up to the minute is not up to the minute. It's up to the second. And I was really sitting there kind of amazed at all the stuff that they go through, looking up guys and making sure that, you know, the fans are really knowing who we have. And those guys, you guys did a great job.
Thank you.
I was so surprised. I mean, Bosek, from Bosek to Austin to character. I mean, everybody, Dan. I mean, there's so many people doing their part. Kelsey. I mean, so many people doing their part in there to make the website so that everybody knows exactly what the Falcons have going on. And it was pretty amazing. So I got a chance to sit in there and take part in it. Obviously, I was up here interviewing, you know, all the draft picks and TD after every pick and all that. But it was just – I had to say that. It was pretty cool to see what these guys do on a daily basis.
Yeah, there's more than one team that works here, you know,
right.
and you end up working with a lot of great people that make it happen, and we're just a machine. We get things cranked out, and we love everything that we do. So I complain, quote unquote, complain about the 38 hours that I work, but I loved every second of it.
I was up here Thursday after working my regular show here in Atlanta on 92.9 The Game. Did the show there, and then hightailed it up to Flowery Branch, and I was here till probably midnight. Really, really appreciate Brian Kearns and staff afterwards. Thomas Dimitroff and Dan do their press conference after they select Keanu Neal. We had an opportunity to talk to him via video conference. And then I came in the exact room that we're recording Falcon Cast in, and it was just me, Thomas Dimitroff, and Dan Quinn. It was about 7-8 minutes being able to sit and go back and forth with them and ask him questions about the first-round pick. And, you know, we will say this, and part of it, we do work for this group, but to be a part of a class organization.
Yeah.
You know, to have people that go, okay, we're going to put, you know, the best interests of our fans in place. And I know you guys won't always agree with the draft choices. That's just the nature of sports. You're not going to agree with everything that your team does. But to have access to Thomas and Dan and, you know, the players and everything else and be able to talk to them literally moments after they're done drafting, it means a lot. And there's a reason that I know I love working up here. I love coming up here. You know, this isn't right next to my house. Jay, you live up this way. Shock, you sort of do as well. It's an hour drive for me every week, but I love it. And I like working with you guys. And it is a lot of fun this time of the year when you get to get into the draft and see what your team can be a year from now.
It's funny because, you know, the past couple of months we've been just like trying to fill space. I know we talked about our resting heart rates. Let me remind you, 3 weeks ago we were talking resting heart rates.
By the way,
the
pills that I found, I had my resting heart rate at 106 the other day. I don't know that I need to be doing those.
The ones that could have been kind of banned a little bit right there.
Well, there's no kind of. They were banned.
Yeah. I'm an amateur cardiologist, and I could tell you that that is not
very
good. But it is nice to have something to talk about, and you talk about the, you know, literally talking to people right after they've made the pick. I mean, DJ is interviewing Thomas like literally moments after he made that call and turned in the card.
And the great thing about it, some people say, okay, you talk to these guys, and they're going to give you coaches speak, or they're going to give you GM speak, or whatever it is. these guys were detailed about exactly what they like, what they saw, what they where they saw they fit in this Falcons organization, and it wasn't just some stuff around the world that everybody said, okay, here, he's just talking, he don't want to give anything away, but they were very, very open about the picks and what they liked about them and things that they see.
Right, yeah. You're pointing at me.
Well, no, I was going to say something because we're talking about all our experiences, and the guy who may have had the greatest experience of all of us was Brian Bosek.
Brian Bosek. Oh, yeah. I mean, jeez, how could we forget? We sent Bosek up to – so here was a funny behind-the-scenes story is that leading up to the draft, you know, we have to put together a plan, right, of how are we going to cover this? What are we going to do? When you're sitting at 17, you run the risk of your first-round pick not being up in Chicago.
Okay.
And if he's not up in Chicago – the plane is still back in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So if you're in Chicago and we pick somebody who, I don't know, like a couple of years ago, we picked Desmond Trufant. He was not in New York at the time. He was in Washington. So the plane had to fly all the way to Washington from Atlanta and pick him up and bring him back, right? So we're talking and we're like, okay, if we send somebody up to Chicago, there's a chance that our guy may not be there. And if our guy's not there, then what's plan B for getting somebody on a plane early in the morning to go fly out to wherever we got to pick this guy up? So for Bosek's sake, he was plan A to document everything if our guy was up there. Luckily, our guy was up there.
Thank goodness.
And Bosek was able to document the entire experience. And man, you got some fantastic footage, the reactions from Keanu after getting off the phone and doing all the media tours and just you look at the video that's on AtlantaFalcons.com and of course the Atlanta Falcons social media. What these guys do immediately after they're picked is incredible.
Bosek, you got that video of him talking about when he first got the call?
Yeah,
that was, oh, nice.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice.
They're not hanging out with family and, like, enjoying the moment. They are. It's a whirlwind, isn't it?
Yeah, they get picked, and then the next 20 minutes, they're, like, they're walking, doing their own thing with PR, with NFL PR. So I didn't see him. He shakes Rogers' hands. He walks off the stage. Then he goes in the back behind the stage doing behind-the-scenes stuff. I'm not really sure what he's doing. NFL PR kind of stuff. And then finally he gets taken up to the media. Meanwhile, he has yet to speak with his family. Mm. He has yet to hug him. He has to talk to him. So he's going straight to the media. Then he has to give a press conference to the local media there. And then he's got stand-up interviews with one-on-ones with other media members. So at this point, he's talking about the same – he's answering the same questions for like 30 minutes. So I remember when we were
– literally. I watched the raw feed. Yep. He gave me the raw feed.
Yep.
And I watched 30 minutes of Keanu Neal after he was picked. And literally, he was going from person to person to person, and every single one of those people was asking the same exact question.
Same question.
It's got to be so obnoxious.
And then to add on to that, then he comes here, and then everyone asks him the same questions here. So he was kind of wiped out when he got here. But then after he speaks to the media in Chicago, then he does some promotional stuff with Tide. He's showing off his jersey and his colors, going from room to room there. And then he speaks with our local media with a teleconference. They're asking the same questions he just walked through.
Not all the media was asking the same conference because we were there and I can attest to it. There were some people that were kind of off.
I saw a Miami tattoo guy sitting right in front of the TV like this.
If you look at the screen and there's like, if it says heat.
And there's an arm.
And there's an arm in the right corner. That's John Michaels.
Well, but you know, the old school microphone that we have at our station.
I mean, you had center field now.
I was right front and center.
Yeah, we've got an old school setup with like an old recording box and an actual stick mic. So everybody else's microphone was taped to the TV. Mine couldn't really be taped, so I had to be able to get the audio.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny. When he walked into the room to see the local media sitting there, the NFL PR guy goes, "All right, you're going to speak with the local media now." He goes, "All right." He looks, he goes, "Oh, that's a lot of people."
Suddenly there's an entire television worth of people that are staring at you.
And I'd venture to say, and it's no knock against Atlanta and what size market we are because we're number 9 in the country.
It's
totally
nothing.
Different than New York, totally different than San Francisco. I mean, we had, what, 30 people here maybe?
Right.
And I might be exaggerating. It might not have been 30. It might have been about 15.
And fitting 30 people in that room right over there not is easy. An accomplishment. You got to Crisco a couple of people up to get them in the door.
Crisco.
It's a good thing I'm down 25, or else I would have had to be Crisco'd
in. Steamy in there. Oh, yeah. The smell by day three is just...
Well, and everybody's eating, and there's a lot of food that gets thrown in.
One bathroom.
Hot and muggy.
The bathroom down here for 30 media members is a one-banger. And...
Hey now.
It can get a little congested during draft weekend.
There's one bathroom like there was one mic on the old school R&B. We got
one mic. Five guys, one mic.
One banger's worse than friggin', I'm telling you right now.
Oh, yeah. It's, probably. It's, so I got is. On you. Yeah. So, DJ's saying he dropped two friggins in a row when he was given analysis on the podcast last week, and I called him out for it on Twitter. But now he's saying that one banger, which just means one toilet.
Well, no, when you said it, John immediately said, whoa. So that tells you right there.
Well, John has a dirtier mind than everybody else.
I'm a juvenile.
He is a 12-year-old upstairs.
I would have a really hard time with 30 minutes of interviews asking me the same question.
Yeah.
Because I just start going off the cuff, just saying a bunch of random nonsense.
All right, so let's cut to the chase.
Let's do it.
Keanu Neal, nobody in this room that you know of had this pick. What do you think?
Here's the thing, and I said this on local radio, and I will reiterate this. I like Keanu Neal, the player. I think you have a kid that obviously walks in as your starter day one. No disrespect to Kamal Ishmael. You don't draft a guy at 17 to have him sit the bench. Mm-hmm. He's your starter day one. He does a lot of things that Dan Quinn wants. He hits. He can play in the box. He can run. He can cover a little bit. Dan kept reiterating in this press conference, we play a lot of zone. You need to be able to make up ground. He kept saying, don't give up the bleed yards, where it's third and five and he catches a four-yard pass, you miss the tackle, and it's a 10-yard gain. This guy can give you all of that. The issue I have is I think you took him 15 to 20 spots higher than anybody else would have.
Now, let me put you on the spot and ask you why you think that.
Maybe it's because where I saw him projected for a lot of different places.
Right.
And when I talked to Thomas afterwards, I asked him, were you openly looking for trades? And he said, not necessarily openly, but they were on the phone. And that's what all good general managers do when they get ready to take a pick. They're going to be on the phone. They're going to figure out which way they could go. But he said there was nobody really interested in moving all the way to 17.
Yeah.
So at that point, they took the guy that was number one on their board, which was Keanu Neal. Interesting, and the part that's very interesting about that is Shaq Lawson was sitting there, a guy that we had talked about for a long time, could be a pass rusher. Darren Lee was sitting there, another guy that many people wanted to come in here and play linebacker, yet they went, to me, outside the box a little bit and went safety instead of filling the front seven first.
And that's the thing that whenever we get to post-draft and things don't really line up the way they were projected, that's the thing about the draft that I don't like, because all of these expectations for people, and that's why I asked you this question, is why do you think he was a second rounder? It's because – chances are your opinion's been formed by a bunch of guys who do a lot of very good work. They watch a lot of film and they make their best projections that they possibly can. And that's from your Mel Kuypers and your Todd McShays all the way down to, you know, the guy who's just doing it as a hobby in his house. But those expectations, Pete Prisco is not determining what our draft board looks like, right? And so you can sit here and you can say, okay, well, you know, maybe the Falcons took him a little bit early. But I tell you right now, there were other teams in the first round right behind us that wanted him. And if you didn't take him at that spot, you potentially lose out on your guy. And if he was your number one guy on the board at that time, you take him.
I had two things, and the first part was exactly what you said. I talked to TD, and he kind of mentioned to an extent about there were teams behind them in the 20s who felt Keanu Neal would fit them really well. And they felt – he kind of felt if there's no way he would be there when we wanted him 15 or 30 picks later. And he felt like this was a guy we needed to have right now because he fits a lot of things that we want to do. I think, obviously – he is the thumper. He's the guy that you want to be able to come down in the box. He can, you know, he can cover guys. And You guys had DQ on 92.9 talking about coverage also helps pass rush. Mm-hmm. And we know if you have, you know, a quarterback back there holding the football, there's a greater chance of your guys up front being able to get to him. Keanu Neal is a type of player who I believe can fill that void. He can cover space. He can be aggressive. But one thing I liked about him when I spoke with him was this guy's so passionate.
Yeah.
He wants to be great. He wants to come in and get this defense back on where it should be. He wants to be a catalyst for it. And I asked him about being a leader, and he felt about, you know, hey, I'd be a rookie, but at the same time, my game, my actions are going to – what's really going to put me in front and say, all right, he's a guy that I want to follow. He's a guy that I want to play with because he's going to bring it every single day he comes to play or practice.
Here's the thing. If he turns into Sean Taylor, my favorite safety of all time, or Ronnie Lott, who he mentioned during his teleconference.
He spoke with Sean Taylor as well.
Focus on, and immediately he became my favorite player on the team because he mentioned Sean Taylor, but that's neither here nor there. If he turns into any of those guys, and
Cam Chancellor was another guy.
Cam Chancellor. And Dan Quinn even said during his press conference there, he said, I'm not going to put that expectation on because it's not fair.
Right. And Cam Chancellor was a fifth rounder, too. And so, you know, you're talking about something completely different there, too. But if you know, Keanu's a little smaller, a little lighter than Cam Chancellor, but you could certainly see him in that type of role.
My thing is, if he turns into them and you look back 3 years from now, nobody's going to care that you took him at 17. Yeah. And I'll be – I'm the first to admit it. Yeah, my thoughts – I watched Keanu play some at Florida because, you know, I sit next to Bo Morgan on the plane. He's a producer of Falcons Radio. And I get stuck watching the Gators time and time again as he punches me and goes, hey, man, we're good. Whatever you just said, Bo. I don't know what that means. But
In between harassing the flight attendants.
Well, he does that as well.
And asking 100 questions about what's on the menu.
That's yes, as if they don't put a menu right in front of us and tell us exactly what's on the menu.
What is the steak? Well, it's a steak, sir. Except, you know, he says it unintelligibly.
Seasonal vegetables.
Right.
He's the only person I know that we took him to Drago's in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Who's sitting two seats over from us, true story, but Thomas Dimitroff. So you know it's a restaurant that everybody wants to go to. Now, but granted, Bo does not eat seafood, but they have steak, and they have everything else on the menu. You know, take me to this plate in the most fancy restaurant.
We got to get a picture of Bo somewhere up on our account so that people can see who he is.
Go to @SquidBilly929.
But to bring up more evidence of the post-draft kind of craziness that goes on is look how many guys who were surefire first-rounders who fell into day two.
At least 15.
Yeah. And I'm not talking about Miles Jack because Miles Jack was one of those weird cases. I mean, right. I've never seen anything like that, and I've never seen anything like what happened with Laremy Tunsil. I mean, that is a completely different story. But you want to talk about guys that we were talking about at 17.
Mm-hmm. Reggie Ragland.
Reggie Ragland immediately comes to mind. So if you would have taken Reggie Ragland at 17 as opposed to taking Keanu Neal, knowing that the Bills would be the first team that would want to step up and take him in the second round midway through, suddenly that Neal pick doesn't look so bad.
You know what's funny? What I've heard from Falcon fans, and I know this time of the year is the time to be overly negative about everything. And I'm not negative. Like I said, I like Keanu Neal, the player. I really like Deion Jones, the player. I like Austin Hooper. The other guys, other than Devin Fuller, I can't say I watched them enough to form a judgment on. Wes Schweitzer seems like a really interesting case because Ryan Schrader kind of did the same thing.
Yeah.
Went from small to all of a sudden he's huge. Now all of a sudden the guy's a really good player in the NFL.
Right.
A lot of Falcon fans, what I've seen on Twitter, if we switched places with the Buffalo Bills, they would have been ecstatic. Shaq Lawson and Reggie Ragland.
Yeah, no. And
would have been the greatest draft ever.
And look, I get it because I think both of those guys are great players. If you end up with both of those guys in your first two rounds, you're ecstatic. You should be. Those are good, solid players. My point is that, you know, you sit here and you're going to let the mock drafts basically form your opinions on where players should go. And then when they don't go there, you get all upset about where we took Neal, yet you might have been one of those people who wanted to take Ragland at 17, and he fell all the way down to the Bills.
And the great thing about it is here at AtlantaFalcons.com, they can go on and see exactly what they thought.
Yeah, we keep track of it.
You got track of it. I got a chance to talk to each player individually, and they tell you exactly what type of player, person they are. And you can see where they fit into Dan Quinn's system. You can see where they fit offensively in Kyle's system. And just whatever it may be, you can see what the Falcons were thinking about when they took this particular guy. They just didn't take him, then you're wondering, how is he fit? Thomas tells you exactly. Steve Sabo, he sat there and told you exactly what he liked about Hooper, what he liked about Schweitzer, everything that you want to know about these players and how they fit in the system. And you can't really let the people on the outside who are making these mock drafts really determine, okay, this is where they should be because of what they say. And yeah, they never know what really is going on in those war rooms and how TD and them are going through the process of picking these guys.
Right, exactly. The mock drafts are a lot of fun to look at until we get to like 2 weeks before the draft and then we're all sick of them.
You don't like mock 16.8.
16.8. They're a lot of fun to look at, and I look at them. It's absolutely something I'll click on and look at.
Yeah, everybody
does that.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't. I try not to let it form my opinion about a player because I know, and maybe it's just because I work inside the NFL, it's that what, you know, sport SB Nation's mock draft looks like may not be what our draft board looks like in the war room. And it's all completely down to what your scouts value, what your coaches value, what they're looking for, what they deem as this need higher than that need. And speaking of needs, I think one of the reasons why Falcons fans are so negative right now is because, as you mentioned, like the pass rush wasn't addressed in this draft. And so you've got a lot of people who are asking a lot of questions about, okay, so again, you're going into another year, you were just last in sacks. What's the pass rush going to look like?
But the great thing about it is DQ answered that question, though.
Right.
When asked, you didn't think you addressed pass rush and everything, and he simply said, we got guys who we feel like can cover, so that's going to help with the pass rush.
Right.
You got linebackers who feel are athletic and fast, can run and all that, and you got a safety back there who can do the same. He feels as though the coverage part of it is a little bit more important than trying to get a book in on the other side of Vic Beasley.
Right.
And that's kind of his mind frame was, okay, we're going to build from the backside, and then we're going to get the guys that we have in-house already to be the guys that's going to get it better.
Two things, and I'll say this, and I'll go on record and say this, and you can make fun of me a year from now if I'm completely wrong, but I think this is a breakout year for Vic Beasley, and I think Derek Shelby ends up being worth every single penny that you paid for. Those are my two guys this year I think are just going to really, really turn some heads this year. We'll see when we get out on the field and we start practicing and getting into OTAs and mini camps and training camps.
I agree 100%
on
with
paper,
you on Vic.
I love that duo.
I think Vic was a guy that if you really paid attention and you were watching, and I know we were,
yeah,
you look in the fourth quarter of the season, the last four games.
Impact guy.
Suddenly Vic Beasley was a guy you had to account for. Ask Cam Newton as he gets strip sacked from behind right at the Georgia Dome if Vic Beasley can make plays.
With the torn labrum and everything
right.
else, yeah.
So now you're talking about a guy that spent an entire offseason, A, getting healthy. B, we've talked to him. We actually talked to him on 92.9 and asked him about – he said, look, I was watching Von Miller. I'm watching guys to try to figure out – he's going to learn counter moves. It's no longer going to be see if he can bend the corner and get around a tackle. Yep. It's going to be come, get to a certain point, spin back inside, and all of a sudden you're getting immediate pressure. And I think Grady Jarrett, if you want a breakout guy for me this year, it's going to be Grady Jarrett.
Grady was the same type of player as you saw in Vic and towards the end of the year, started to make plays. You see him putting pressure. You see him pushing the pocket, being one of those guys make a lot of plays. So towards the end of the year, these rookies – they started to come on and feel themselves and know, hey, what this National Football League is all about.
And here's the thing is, you look back at some of the plays that Vic didn't make, right? And those being where he was just a split second too late before the quarterback threw the ball. You think about, you go back to the coverage side of things, right? You get that extra split second of coverage, it makes a huge difference.
Oh, yeah.
Vic gets there.
No
Vic
doubt
gets
it does.
The sack. You know, you got to think about that stuff. It all works hand in hand, I think. And, you know, I think it's a little unfair to say that the Falcons haven't addressed the pass rush. Yes, they haven't signed a big, sexy name who is a pass rusher and that's all he does. But I think there are guys on this team that can really get to the quarterback, affect the quarterback, and ultimately get off the field when the Falcons need to.
But haven't they tried that before, getting the big,
sure.
sexy name? I mean, tried Otu Manyura, a name that everybody
yep.
knew. Ray Edwards was the second most coveted free agent on that year to get after the passer.
Yeah.
That didn't work out.
Boy, yeah. when he – I remember the first day he came out to practice, the day after he signed, it was like – He was walking around like
Jesus like, walked out there.
Yeah. I mean, second coming.
They made me, and I worked at an old radio station that used to have the Falcons rights years ago. When Ray Edwards was signed, I literally was doing an every 20-minute report on Ray Edwards. So I'm standing there, you know where they come out,
yeah.
And I'm standing there waiting. What's Ray Edwards doing? I don't know. He's not here
yet. And
he
literally, for his first practice, just stood and
watched. Just stood there. Yeah. I'm like, well, you know, I'm trying to hype it up. Well, he looks like he's in tremendous shape. And the coaches were over there. Then we wouldn't even do anything.
He just gave me a preview of his 2013 calendar.
Yeah.
That he laid in the middle of the
He's actually shadow boxing, working on his uppercut guys right about now.
Exactly.
You mentioned Vic Beasley and how close he was.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that Vic Beasley's J.J. Watt because he's not. There's only one J.J. Watt in the league. You know how many sacks J.J. Watt had his rookie year?
Yes.
5.5. You know how many sacks Khalil Mack had his rookie year?
No.
He had 4.
4, yeah.
J.J. Watt went from 5.5 to 20.5 his second year.
Jeez.
That's
Khalil Mack went from 4 to 13.
Right.
The light sometimes comes on for guys. And again, I'm not comparing, because I know immediately you're going to get the tweet. You just compared J.J. Watt to Vic Beasley, you idiot. No, yeah. I'm not saying that. I'm saying guys go from one year to the next, and all of a sudden the light comes on.
I'm fine saying it. I think Vic has the potential to be at least a 10-sack guy
easily
this year. You're absolutely right. We used to talk a few years ago about how, you know, the wide receiver position, you always needed like 3 years for those wide receivers to come along and get the timing down and all that other stuff. We're not seeing that as much anymore because you're getting so much more talent in that pool that guys are able to come in and be effective in year one, year two. I think when you talk about contact positions, unless you've got a really special skill set, and even guys who do have special skill sets, it takes them a year to really get to the point where they're being effective they're having an impact on the game.
He's going to have other people around him, too, that's going to help him.
Exactly.
We're talking about bringing in another couple of linebackers. This linebacker core already. I mean, it's about 10 deep right now. So you're going to have guys behind you that can help you as far as that goes. You got some guys on the inside. You talked about Grady Jarrett pushing the pocket, being a guy who possibly can play in some nose this year. Like you talk about, Derek Shelby's going to be on the other side. You still got Claiborne coming in here. He's got a new contract, feeling good about himself. I mean,
Courtney Upshaw, I think, is the most overshadowed player on the roster right now. He's hardly been talked about.
Thomas also talked about Brooks Reed slimming down a bunch.
Yeah.
Dan Quinn said the same thing, that these could be guys. Does Vic Beasley remind you a little bit build-wise of Jason Taylor?
Very much so, yeah.
The long, slinky build, yeah.
Jason Taylor's first 3 years in the league combined, he had 16.5 sacks in 3 years. Then it goes like 7 out of the next 9, he was a double-digit sack.
Yeah.
And they were built a lot the same. Taylor was an edge rusher for the Dolphins. He wasn't a guy that was in there every single down because at first he couldn't hold up against the run.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden the light comes on for Jason Taylor, and that's a guy that's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I mean, and that's really the thing is you've got to get these guys into that offseason program, right? And it's totally different in college than it is in the NFL. Now,
this is your life now.
Right. But I've witnessed what they have done here in the last few weeks as they've kind of opened up the voluntary offseason program. And there is some special stuff going on, okay? We had Navy SEALs here last week putting these guys through basically buds training. And
quick story about that. I come Saturday of the draft. Saturday, I come back to the facility around noon or so, and Matt's coming out the building.
Yeah.
He said, man, I just had to go throw because of the stuff we did this week with the Navy SEALs. My shoulders were a little sore.
Yeah.
So
he's
coming in throwing on Saturday just because of the workout you're talking about.
Right.
How tough it is, how strenuous. I mean, people won't ever know that kind of stuff happens and the kind of different stuff that you're doing.
Right.
And as a former player, to be able to do stuff like that,
like there's
it helps you because it gets you out of the same mundane stuff of going out doing drills, running cones. You get to do stuff that Navy SEALs do. I mean,
right. And there's a lot of work that's going on. And for a guy like Vic, who a year ago at this time was just thinking about his first rookie minicamp, which if you've ever witnessed a rookie minicamp, day one and day two are very much like they've never even seen a football before.
Yeah.
Okay. So don't expect a ton. I know a couple of years ago, everybody was talking about Tyler Starr flashing like crazy at rookie minicamp. Well, I mean, part of the reason is nobody knows what the heck they're doing out there. And so you're not going to see a lot in rookie minicamp, but now Vic has that that advantage of having a full year under his belt, a full off season under his belt, and he's in into the training program and he's right there with everybody else. So I could see a lot of big things from him this year.
Looking down the rest of the draft, there were, you know, we've talked a lot about Keanu Neal. Deion Jones, a kid that ran a 4.38.
Love that.
And Dan Quinn's talked a lot about wanting guys that could do multiple things, hybrid players, coverage. They've got him listed right now as a middle backer, although he only played weak side at LSU. I think he's a kid that's got a chance. And for me, who really wanted Darren Lee in the first round, this is Darren Lee, and I don't want to call him Darren Lee light because that's not fair to Deion Jones. This is a kid that has the same exact skill set, might even be faster, just a little bit less time starting.
When I talked to TD after finished with the Devin Fuller pick, I said, TD, you know what? I look at all these draft picks, and all of them are versatile. All of them can do so many different things. Every single player that they drafted has done something else. So you talk about Keanu, he can come down and play in the box and be a linebacker sometimes and be maybe a fifth or sixth defensive back. And Deion Jones, the guy who you talk about, play linebacker, play defensive end, rush. Devondre Campbell, the same thing. Austin Hooper, his versatility goes with – you barely see so many tight ends coming to the league who can now do both things. Mm-hmm. Coming from Stanford, you know he can block.
Oh, you ain't
know,
got no choice.
You know you're going to put his hand in dirt, you're going to be able to block a guy.
Well, he was a defensive lineman for the longest time.
Right.
So he's no stranger to contact.
Wes Schweitzer, they were really excited about him. Because his ability to play left and right tackle, he's going to come in here and play guard. That's versatility on his own.
Play biochemistry, too.
Pre-med and everything. Devin Fuller, obviously, you look up everything about him being a return specialist, but also play some receiver. But going back to Deion Jones, he's one of those versatile players that they really like. He fits in the mold. And if you kind of listen to TD, he kind of fits in the same mold of the Darren Hill. He looks kind of the same, is very athletic, can run, can go side to side, and also can be on the field for all three downs if you need him.
You know who I really like is Devondre Campbell, and I'm going to have some problems here with Devondre and Devontae. I already know that. But Devondre Campbell is a guy to me that he's raw. He needs some work. You need to work with him, get him, a good summer of work under his belt. But he's a guy who can, I think, come in and certainly be a factor on special teams and in sub packages. I could really see this kid. He flew around the field at Minnesota, and another extremely smart guy, degrees that he has. So we've got the all Harvard class here with as far as smarts go. But he's a kid I like, and I love the pick of Devin Fuller. The more I've seen of him, the more
electric.
I love that kid. Don't think of him as a wide receiver. Think of him as a returner.
Devondre, when I talked to him, he spoke about. I said, "What's going to make you different from anybody else? What do you do well?" And you talk about him playing in that sub package. The first thing he said was, "He said, man, I can rush the passer, or I can cover tight ends." He said, "Shoot, at times I even cover slot receivers." So he's excited about the chance to be able to cover guys as well as be a guy who can rush out the field. You guys spoke with Devin Fuller. If you haven't seen the highlights of Devin Fuller or any of these guys, you got to go to AtlantaFalcons.com and look at the highlights of all these players. I mean, some of these guys are really, really explosive, like Devin Fuller. The speed alone, 4.37. And I asked TD, I said, he didn't go to the combine. You guys were able to see what you wanted to from film and also from his pro day, and that obviously was enough. And he said, "Yeah, this guy's got something about him, and we really like that."
He really does. And the last guy we talk about here is Austin Hooper, and just what he brings in the way of red zone. Mm-hmm. This kid, his highlights blow me away. Like really, his highlights blow me away. He is fantastic, and it's tough to talk about Wes Schweitzer because I don't know that many of us followed the San Jose State season in 2015.
I just like a guy that was a 180-pound wrestler. What, about 5 years ago?
Yeah, 189-pound wrestler.
And now all of a sudden you're getting drafted in the National Football League.
It's amazing.
You know what? When Sabo told me, because like we said, nobody really knew much about Wes, and I kind of asked.
But we got the pipeline going. With Akeem King. And now Schweitzer.
Ask him point blank, what about Wes Schweitzer did you guys like? He said, he fits the system that we like. He can scrape and get up and get onto the three technique or get up to the five technique, get to the next level. He's athletic, he can move. Those type of things in this zone blocking scheme that he likes. And we brought up the point about the rule of not being able to cut block guys.
Yes.
This is a good thing where you can reach those three techniques, reach those five techniques, and that's what Steve Sabo said I like the most.
That's exactly what Steve said was the reach block. And let me tell you something, from a guy who played 4 years of high school football.
Yes.
4 years of high school football, 2 years of varsity football. the reach block is one of the hardest things to accomplish in sports. It is very, very difficult. Do not underestimate that. So this is something, this is a rule change that's going to affect our offensive line big time. So these guys are going to have to be able to reach. And if this is one of his specialties, you can throw him right in the mix right now, because he is going to be competing when you get to training camp, because also, it is such a hard, hard skill to pick up.
And one thing that I think we overlook is having guys that can bring some depth to your team.
Yeah.
We talk about guys go down all the time. We saw last year we had a couple guys go down on offensive line.
And you're not exactly real young at the the interior positions there right now.
No, that's a place that I look for, and I know we'll do this more when we get towards, you know, get towards camp and everything, some of the intriguing spots for competition. Linebacker and interior line.
Yeah.
I did a quick look yesterday. There's like 11 linebackers on the roster right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you start looking and go, man, who do you – because you know they're not going to keep 11. It's like, okay, who ends up not being here? There's going to be some names, and again, we'll spend some more time on this. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some names that were here a year ago or have had some real success in this league won't be here this year.
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy. Those are definitely positions to watch.
The good thing about it is you get to see your rookies this weekend as they take part in the rookie minicamp. So they're gonna
excited.
Out and do a little bit.
You're gonna go out and participate in some drills?
I mean, I might as well. They're
lower numbers, so you could be the other.
I mean, they're just drawing plays up in the sand out there with rookie minicamp, so I stand as much of a chance as anybody out there. But it's going to be fun to see them on the field, get a chance to see them in Falcons colors for the first time. That's always exciting. But, you know, it's tough to get a gauge on these guys because every single one of them is learning the same system at the same time, and they get out on the field, and it's like Chinese arithmetic. Can we say that? It's very, very difficult for them on the first day or two, but
they're
going to be tired mentally, emotionally, physically, but that's good because you're going to have, you know, veterans coming in, you got OTAs, you got all that stuff, you know, you're going to be expected to pick this stuff up quick. So to get on the field this weekend and to get things moving is going to be a lot of fun. I really can't wait.
The difference, the good thing is now you don't have to lug around a 700-page folder with all the plays.
Right,
now you get a nice little nifty iPad and you go, okay, I can rewind the film. Here's what I did wrong.
Exactly.
So if they're in it and they're in there studying and realizing this is no longer a hobby, that this is a job, I think a lot of these guys have a chance for some success.
Yeah, absolutely. And it seems like, you know, the six guys that were drafted have great heads on their shoulders. That as of this recording, we haven't even announced our undrafted guys or our tryout guys. So, you know, we can't really talk about them right now. But, you know, there's always a couple from that crop, too, that end up
always
turning
some
heads. Well, again,
Paul Warlow,
starting for the last couple of years. Joppo Bartu, who's not here, but he did. Ryan Schrader is a guy he's going to get paid after this season. He's going to get paid. And rightly so. So undrafted guys can make it. They were talking about on our morning show, some of the guys, I mean, think about the James Harrisons of the world, the Jesse Tuggles, guys that were undrafted and ended up being some really, really good football players.
Absolutely.
Let's do a break with Bosek here on the Falcon Cast.
All right. Keeping football talk this week on the break with Bosek.
What?
Yep, I know. But which 2016 rookie will shine brightest in 2016?
Now, is this Falcon only or just rookies in general?
Falcon
only. Okay.
Falcon
only. Falcon cast.
Well, I know that, but I wanted to know if we were going to expand and do one of each.
I mean, we could. But
let's just stick with it.
Let's don't make me think about what happened in the first round. I can't even remember, like, who was – oh, Jared Goff was the first. Okay.
Shine the brightest, sir. You know what? I would say I would give I think Keanu, because he's going to have – I think he's had more opportunities to be on the field.
That's where I'm at, too.
Because, like you said, when we first started this podcast, John, he's going to be your starter from day one. He's going to have more opportunities to have an impact. Maybe not early. He's going to be finding his way around and, you know, trying to understand how fast the league is. But I think – he's going to be the guy that's going to be shining bright. He's going to say, come back and say, all right, that 17th pick really worked out for us.
He's your day one starter. I think he's going to get, you're going to see where William Moore used to get, you know, 99-98% of the defensive snaps. You're going to see that exactly out of Keanu Neal, I think, right away. So for me, it's going to be Keanu Neal, although, gosh, I would love to see any of these other guys step up too and kind of shine. But I expect it out of Neal.
I'm going to go completely off the cuff, and I'm going with Devin Fuller.
I like it.
I think with the change, and you know, not, you know, Devin Hester coming off surgery, that's, you know, he says he plans on being here. We hope that Devin's here, but if not, if something, you know, they decide to go a different direction than Devin Hester, Devin Fuller, because of the kickoff rule change, and now that they're going to let you come out to the 25, I think you're going to see a lot of high directional kicks, which are going to give opportunities for returns. I think this kid takes one to the house this year. While he may not get be on the field the way that Keanu Neal is, I think he's going to have a highlight play or three before the season's over.
You know what? I go back to guys in the preseason flashing. If he's one of those guys who takes one back, like you said, in the preseason, or even picks up big yardage in a return, you say, oh, he's one guy away, that's going to give you a little something that's going to say, well, you know what?
You remember a guy, Justin Hardy, who had a punt return in the preseason that was pretty impressive, too. And, you know, I expect a lot out of him this year, and he could vie for a special team spot at returner. But this is – Fuller's a guy who's so good down the sideline. I mean, you get him to the sideline, he's just going to speed right by you, and it's all about angle of attack with him. So it's going to be interesting. It's funny, you know, he said he grew up idolizing Devin Hester, and now he's competing with him, and that's – there's another storyline for you.
All right, real quick, for the final play, what's your 2016 Falcons draft grade?
I'm going to let you two go first.
You know, look, for me, I hate grades because you don't know until
– until they're out there.
They're out there. It's so until then, I give an A+.
I like it.
You know what? Because I had a chance to talk to these guys and I actually got to see a lot of the film on them, I'm a little biased right now, and I'm going to give them a B- right now because of what I saw out of them and also what I'm looking forward to seeing. I think all these guys can have an impact one way or another.
See, I don't feel so bad now because I was going to also give a B-. My thing is, and, you know, I try to be as truthful as I can here, you did not address pass rush. I understand everything that's been said by Thomas and by Dan Quinn. But to call a spade, 19 sacks ain't going to cut it.
Yep.
And I hope that they're right, but I didn't see anything addressed in the draft. And I would have taken both top two picks about 15 picks later. I know that's not possible. I know you couldn't find a trade partner. And, yes, I am biased based on whatever I read in the mock drafts. But I do like the player. The first four of the six picks I really, really like, even Devin Fuller at the 7. I don't know enough about Devondre Campbell or Wes Schweitzer to say I don't like the guy or I do like the guy. I'm intrigued by the versatility of Campbell, and I'm obviously intrigued by Wes Schweitzer because, at worst, if we get into a scrum, we know who's going to win the ground and pound game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'm completely biased with my A+ because I have to walk by Thomas's office every day when I need to use the bathroom. So, A+ effort all around for me on that one.
Gentlemen, it's been a lot of fun.
Bosek,
as always.
Where's your grade, buddy?
My grade.
You have to do the same thing I do. So.
Oh, yeah. My grade. So I also have to walk past Thomas's office, use the bathroom.
Right.
So definitely an A+. Not because of the talent, because I know we addressed the needs and positions.
And that's
We needed all those positions, and I support that.
That and the bathroom thing.
And the bathroom. A+.
Most importantly, the bathroom thing.
That's it. It's another FalconCast. Make sure you check us out on iTunes if you don't already. Go to FalconCast, hit subscribe, and take us on the go
with you.
We'll be back next week. A little more vacation talk next week because I am 3 weeks. Actually, by this time in 3 weeks exactly, I will be on a beach in Punta Cana. With a tropical drink.
We're gonna dial you up via satellite.
If you want to, I am all for it.
Let's Skype him in.
Let's do that. I'm with
that. They have Wi-Fi there. You can Skype.
We're going to make that happen.
Or you can hit me up on WhatsApp. That's about it. See you guys.
See ya.